Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Hamas is a gangster grab of anything they can reach. That's what they appear to be in the Gaza Strip. However, Hamas in the world is a subset of the Muslim Brothers, and they're a subset of bad actors. Two of those bad actors have capitals that are available to commercial travelers, to security officials, to anyone. Doha, capital of Qatar, Ankara, capital of Turkey. What is to be done? I welcome Ord Khitri, Senior Fellow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, also a professor of law at Arizona State University, Sandra Day O'Connor College of Law, with recommendations about what is to be done. Ord, a very good evening to you. First, to establish, I know that Doha is often mentioned in the news as hosting or in some fashion vouchsafing two of the major leaders of Doha, of the Hamas. Is that also true in Ankara? Are there Hamas leaders in Ankara? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Yes, indeed. Qatar has for years been the residence of numerous Hamas officials, including the organization's top leader, Ismail Haniyeh. There's a video circulating on social media that shows Haniyeh, his deputy, Salah al-Aruri, and other Hamas officials monitoring and celebrating the October 7th massacre in Israel from the group's offices in Doha. Meanwhile, several other senior Hamas officials reside in Turkey and use it as a base of operations. At least a dozen Hamas officials reportedly use Turkey for recruitment, plotting terrorist attacks in Israel, and conducting military training. The Turkish government has reportedly even given several of them Turkish passports, which, of course, are much easier to travel on throughout the world than whatever papers they might have otherwise.
What is to be done? Now we turn to what is generally understood as using the law for warfare or lawfare. However, in this instance, the U.S. has options that are not forever. Do I read that correctly, or there's a clock running on these recommendations?
That's correct. Some top Hamas leaders are reportedly relocating or preparing to relocate from Qatar to Algeria. Others might soon depart for Iran or Russia. It seems to me that the U.S. has a relatively short period of time to deploy their own powerful tools for holding Hamas accountable and ending its rule over Gaza. That means heavy pressure on Qatar, Turkey, and any other country hosting top Hamas leaders. The U.S. could, for example, press Qatar and Turkey to detain these Hamas leaders. And the U.S. could prosecute them. They are all culpable in the ongoing hostage taking of Americans. And the U.S. could demand that they be turned over to the U.S. This would be a remarkable yet bloodless blow to Hamas. Even if Hamas forces in Gaza continue to fight, the detention of all of their top leaders who are there in Qatar and Turkey would severely disrupt and demoralize the organization, making it possible for Israel to defeat it militarily with far less bloodshed, or hopefully for Hamas to simply lay down their arms, which is what President Biden and Secretary Blinken have long been calling for Hamas to surrender the hostages and to lay down their arms themselves.
You also recommend secondary sanctions. What does that mean, Ord?
Sure, absolutely. So the U.S. already has direct sanctions on Hamas leaders, Haniyeh, Salah al-Aruri, others. They can't access the U.S. financial markets in any way. They can't, use banks with a relation to the U.S. for transferring funds, etc. But they are doing business with a lot of people in Qatar and Turkey, and the U.S. has the ability to implement secondary sanctions, sanctions on those who are doing business with, who are providing services to Hamas leaders. During the Obama administration, the U.S. did this very aggressively vis-a-vis Iran. The Obama administration imposed billions of dollars in fines on banks that engaged in illicit transactions with Iranian and other clients. If you were to do this to those doing business with the Hamas leaders in Qatar and Turkey, that would both directly constrain their ability to operate and indirectly pressure Qatar and Turkey to detain them.
What would it mean to declare these capitals, Doha and Ankara, terrorist sanctuary? What is the burden?
So, interestingly enough, they both already clearly meet the definition under U.S. law. The definition is a foreign country whose territory is being used as a sanctuary for terrorists or terrorist organizations. Each of their government allows, tolerates, or disregards Hamas's use of its territory for training, fundraising, financing, and recruitment. So U.S. law requires the State Department to already list Qatar and Turkey as terrorist sanctuaries and report to Congress on what the U.S. government is doing about that. And those are important steps, it seems to me, that are overdue.
Al Jazeera is headquartered in Doha. I visited their vast landscape. They have an enormous studio, The journalists I met were all Englishmen, but I understand that there's been some evolution since then. What is the leverage on Al Jazeera for its broadcasts, which are boldly pro-Hamas?
Yeah, so Al Jazeera, according to members of Congress from both parties, Al Jazeera is in violation of U.S. law. Al Jazeera has, since September 2020, been in violation of a Department of Justice order that its social media wing, AJ Plus, register as a foreign agent within 30 days of September 2022 because of its, quote, political activities on behalf of Qatar. According to the Justice Department, Al Jazeera and its affiliates are controlled and funded by the government of Qatar. And thus, they need to register, and they haven't registered. So if the U.S. is looking for ways to turn the screws on Qatar, to encourage Qatar to detain and otherwise crack down on the Hamas leader that is residing in Qatar, one way to do it is to enforce existing Qatar-related violations of U.S. law, such as the registration requirement that Al Jazeera has been flouting since September of 2020. As it happens, willful violation of that act, the Foreign Agents Registration Act, says right in the statute, it's punishable by up to 5 years in prison. That's a serious penalty. It's not been enforced yet.
Donations, philanthropy by nations that are suspect. What is Section 117 of the Higher Education Act? How does it apply?
Sure. So Section 117 of the Higher Education Act requires nearly all U.S. colleges and universities to publicly report foreign gifts and contracts, the value of which is $250,000 or greater. But a study by the Department of Education discovered massive underreporting. That's their language, massive underreporting. And the study singled out concerns with regard to contributions by China, Qatar, and Russia. So Qatar is clearly the single largest funder of foreign funder of American universities, according to a 2022 study by the National Association of Scholars. And U.S. officials have raised questions as to, okay, how much is Qatar spending in the U.S. and what has its impact been on U.S. higher education? There are concerning studies that there's a study by the Institute for the Study of Global Antisemitism found a direct correlation between the funding of universities by Qatar and the active presence at those universities of groups such as Students for Justice in Palestine, which foster an anti-Semitic and aggressive atmosphere on campus. So members of Congress are calling on the administration to crack down, to ensure that everything is being reported, and to figure out what it is this money is buying Qatar and the other countries of concern that are donating so much to higher education.
The puzzle here, or it is, I've read routinely now since this controversy about anti-Semitism on elite campuses, I've read routinely that there are vast sums flowing into universities that could come under Section 117. Is there one explanation why administration after administration, Republican, Democrat, do not apply their scrutiny to these matters? Do they not have the time?
No, the Department of Education study that found a lot of missing unreported funds was conducted by the prior administration. Members of Congress are complaining that the current administration is not being as aggressive. But in response, the House recently approved a bipartisan bill that would close loopholes and otherwise enhance reporting requirements to prevent any foreign country, including China and Qatar, from continuing to capitalize on undisclosed financial contributions to U.S. universities. So there's an obvious set of next steps for the executive branch. They can enforce the existing law, and Senate passage of that bill, H.R. 5933, would spotlight and I think weaken Chinese, Qatari, and other foreign influence operations in the United States.
Now we come to more than just Qatar and Turkey. The banning of arms sales and other sanctions on states supporting Hamas. Doha and Turkey, do they qualify as supporting Hamas? How do you define that, Ord?
Yeah, it looks to me that they meet the test. H.R. 340, a bill which passed the House on November 1st, would impose an arms sale ban and other sanctions on a foreign state if the president determines it, quote, provides significant material support to Hamas or materially contributes directly or indirectly to the terrorist activities of Hamas. Obviously, Qatar is hosting Hamas. Qatar has reportedly transferred hundreds of millions of dollars to Hamas over the years. So the bill doesn't mention Qatar or Turkey by name, but publicly available information indicates both meet the threshold for sanctions under the bill. But the bill has passed the House. It hasn't passed the Senate. So this is yet another example of something that needs to be done quickly to put pressure on Qatar to use their leverage over Hamas, which seems to be on a, unfortunately, slow track. Until it passes the Senate, gets signed into law by the president, it's not going to have a direct legal impact.
State sponsor of terrorism designation. Four countries now, I learned from Ord's reporting, Cuba, Iran, North Korea, and Syria. From the presentation of Hamas's conduct, Doha has to be concerned about this. Ankara, less so, I imagine, because it's a much bigger country. But if you're hosting leaders of a murder gang, that is state sponsor of terrorism. I don't need to go to the dictionary for that. Is this also being held up by Congress?
So this is something that Congress passed various laws which authorized the president to declare that countries are state sponsors of terrorism. If the president declares that a country is a state sponsor of terrorism, various sanctions are imposed, including a ban on arms sales, certain controls over exports. In addition, there's a special exception to the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act. A country which is named a state sponsor of terror can be sued in U.S. court by victims of that terrorism. And Iran has been sued, and victims of Iranian-sponsored terrorism have been awarded over $50 billion by U.S. courts. One would think that Qatar and Turkey should be concerned about being named a state sponsor of terrorism. What's interesting is that the law provides the president with tremendous discretion. It doesn't really define the term. And so it seems to me that if the president wants to send a message to Qatar and Turkey, could either designate them as a state sponsor of terrorism or ramp up pressure by publicly ordering an assessment of whether they should be designated as a state sponsor of terrorism. The president clearly has the authority to designate them tomorrow. This is leverage that should be used and isn't being used.
I'm speaking with Ord Khitri, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy's recommendations about what is to be done with Doha, the capital of Qatar, and Ankara, the capital of Turkey. When we come back, two very important details about Qatar and its relation with the U.S. that can change at the opinion of the White House. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
SpinQuest Social Casino. It's Thanksgiving time. The turkey's hot and the family's loud. Instead of football, play a different game on your phone. Live dealer blackjack, craps, and slots. Play anytime, anywhere. SpinQuest.com. This Thanksgiving, gobble up a $30 coin pack for just $10. Come play today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.